Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Let us pray. Sovereign God, you have established your rule in the human heart through the servanthood of Jesus Christ. By your Spirit, keep us in the joyful procession of those who with their tongues confess Jesus as Lord, and with their lives praise him as Savior, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The first reading is from Isaiah. The Lord God has given me the tongue of a teacher, that I may know how to sustain the weary with a word. Morning by morning he wakens my ear, to listen as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I did not turn backward. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out the beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting. The Lord God helps me, therefore I have not been disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who are my adversaries? Let them confront me. It is the Lord God who helps me, who will declare me guilty. The word of the Lord. Pray Psalm 118 responsively. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Hosanna, Lord, save us. We pray to you, Lord, prosper our days. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is a God and has given us life. Form a procession with branches up to the corners of the altar. You are my God, and I will thank you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord. The Lord is good. God's mercy endures forever. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The second reading is from Philippians. Let the same mind be in you that was in Jesus Christ, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The next day, the great crowd that had come to the festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. Look, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written of him and had been done to him. So the crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to testify. It was also because they heard that he had performed this sign that the crowd went to meet him. The Pharisees then said to one another, "You see, you can do nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." The Gospel of the Lord.
In order to understand the significance of this day in the life of Jesus and in the life of the church, we really need to know what was going on in Jerusalem that day. In order to enter into the story, we really need to know what that story is. Jesus was coming from Bethany, the home of his good friends Mary and Martha and Lazarus. This Lazarus, the one who Jesus had called out of the grave, whose very presence now was just so irksome to the religious leaders in Jerusalem. In fact, so irksome that there was a plot afoot to kill Lazarus and shut up those people who kept saying that Jesus was the Messiah, to shut up those people who kept proclaiming he might be the one that is promised in our scriptures. Jesus was in Bethany. It's about 2 miles outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, where the temple is located. And it's Passover week. The population at that time in Jerusalem was about maybe a little under 50,000. Passover week, the population in Jerusalem was maybe just under 500,000. They didn't have Airbnb those days, and Jesus and his friends, of course, needed a place to stay for the festival week. So they had good friends in Martha and Mary and Lazarus a few miles out of the town. So daily trips into town for festival events. So this day, Jesus comes in on borrowed transportation, a donkey, making his way to the city of Jerusalem where the temple is located, where thousands and hundreds of thousands of people are coming for their annual pilgrimage to offer sacrifice during Passover week at the temple. Two processions entered Jerusalem on that spring day in the year 31, maybe 32. It was the beginning of the week of Passover, the most sacred week in the Jewish year. Faithful Jews from all over the world were making their way to Jerusalem to visit the temple. The Roman occupying army and those in the authority knew that this was a great opportunity to make a show of force. You ever see one of those May Day parades or military troop reviews that they hold in, like in Russia or in China? These events that are planned to boast or maybe even to intimidate. So, two processions entered Jerusalem on that spring day. One was a peasant procession, the other an imperial procession. From the east, Jesus rode a donkey down the Mount of Olives, cheered by his followers. Jesus, from the peasant village of Nazareth, his message about the kingdom of God, his followers, also from the peasant class. On the opposite side of the city, from the west, comes Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor of Judea and Samaria. He entered the city through the formal front gates on a mighty steed, followed by the imperial cavalry and the soldiers. Jesus' procession proclaimed the kingdom of God. Pilate's procession proclaimed the power of the empire. Two processions entered Jerusalem that spring day. Pilate traveled in a grand entourage, a military caravan, surrounded by weapons, ornamented in gold. His purpose was to inspire awe and fear in the crowds, to remind everyone who is the boss. Jesus traveled on a borrowed donkey with his fishermen disciples walking behind, surrounded by people calling out, "Hosanna, save us. His purpose was to show the crowds God's mercy and compassion, to remind them that God loves them. As the military procession passed through that western gate, people drew back in fear. Mothers grabbed their children and pulled them, pulled them out of the way, lest they would be trampled under the hooves of the horses or the soldiers' feet. People ducked into shops or alleyways to avoid making eye contact or even be noticed by this man of war. The donkey passed through the eastern gate, the back way into the city. People rushed to get near him. Mothers grabbed their children and held them up to receive maybe a blessing. People called out, "Hosanna, save us," and waved palm branches, hoping to be noticed by this man of peace. Pilate proceeded to his palace, a place where he received refreshment and rest, and where he would stand in judgment of those accused of being the enemies of Caesar. He was Caesar's messenger of death, deciding who would be imprisoned or flogged or crucified as a warning of this government's power and authority and wrath. Jesus' procession led him to the temple, where he overthrew the money changers' tables, offered a blessing to the widow who offered her mite, taught the great commandment to love one another. He is God's messenger of salvation, the Messiah, the Passover lamb, bringing God's mercy and peace and love to all people. Pilate will have the dust of the road washed off of his body with scented oils. He will be dressed in royal robes and be attended by court officials. Jesus will carry the dust of the road in his clothes, having only his feet washed and perfumed by the tears of an unnamed woman. Later, he will be dressed in a robe and in a crown of mockery and be abandoned by his friends, attended only by his executioners. Two processions entered Jerusalem on that spring day. And later in the week, maybe a day or so later, Pilate is surrounded by many important guests. They eat richly of the foods available only to the upper class. They applaud the greatness of Caesar and the abundance of being in the ruling class. On that same night of the festival, Jesus is surrounded by only a few, his closest friends. They eat the ritual foods of their ancestors. They enjoy together the Passover feast. They remember God's faithfulness, remember how death passed over their ancestors on that last night in Egypt. They remember that they are a redeemed people, a delivered people, a saved people, and that the kingdom of God was with them now. By week's end, Pilate will leave the city of Jerusalem, having fulfilled his political obligation. He is ready to return to his lovely home, a palace on the sea coast called Caesarea by the Sea, Caesarea Maritima. By week's end, Jesus too will leave Jerusalem, having fulfilled God's plan of salvation for all people. He leaves not for a place by the sea, but for a cross on a hill just outside the city gates, and a borrowed tomb just steps away. Two processions entered the city of Jerusalem on that spring day. And on this spring day, we start our walk through Holy Week. We begin today with palm branches in our hands and Hosanna on our lips. Hosanna, which means save us. Save us today from bitterness, from arrogance, from loneliness. Hosanna, save us from our fears, from our pain, from strife in our families. Hosanna, save us from anger, from violence in the world, from illness. Holy Week is a story about God being with us, God saving us. Not just a remembering, but a today. God saving us, walking with us, being with us today. God stepping into the messiest parts of our life with us, those times of difficult life and mournful death. God answers our cries of Hosanna in ways unexpected and surprising. So spend your Holy Week here. I know it's a lot to ask people to come to church more than once a week. But this is the week that you need to come to church more than once a week. Let the liturgies of this Holy Week speak to you. If it's not in your tradition to come on Thursday or Friday, come this year. Make this the holiest year to learn again that story of Jesus and walk again with the God who walks with you every day. Spend your Holy Week here and allow the liturgy, the prayers, and the music of these holiest days, Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, Easter Sunday, and experience now, to experience today, God's love and salvation through Jesus Christ. Amen.